This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Top soccer officials are sent to the penalty box. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Top people at international football, soccer's top governing bodies, have been banned for 8 years. FIFA's ethics committee didn't prove corruption, but found evidence of behavior that was unseemly, if not unethical. Sepp Blatter, FIFA's president, and Michel Platini, the boss of the game in Europe, both deny wrongdoing. The BBC's Karen Hagen joins us with more from London with some specifics of what led to the punishment.
This comes down to a payment that was made by FIFA to Michel Platini, and it was when Michel Platini was an advisor to FIFA president Sepp Blatter. What the accusations were was that it was a bribe, in a sense. Now, that was not what the ethics committee found, that it wasn't a bribe, but that it was a disloyal payment.
Now, Mr. Blatter is in his 70s, an 8-year ban may end his career. But Mr. Platini, I think, had hoped to someday take over for Seth Blatter. That seems in question now, right?
Michel Platini was up there as one of the favourites to take over. Both of the men in question are going to appeal against these 8-year bans. Now, if they get a very quick resolution in their favour from the Court of Arbitration for Sport in Lausanne, then, you know, he could still stand for FIFA president in February.
A big mess at what is a big business globally. The BBC's Karen Hagen. Thank you. Let's check the numbers. The FT 100 index in London is up 0.8% after the far left made inroads in Spain's general election. No party ended up with enough seats to govern in Madrid, and a coalition will be tough to form. Amid this political disarray, the key index for stocks in Spain is down more than 2% now. Dow, S&P and Nasdaq futures are up in the 1% range. I'll tell you what's down again is crude oil, about 0.5% to $34.50 a barrel in New York. The U.S. government says that as of today, small pilotless aircraft, drones, have to be registered with the Federal Aviation Administration. That includes many recreational drones that are being unwrapped for the holidays. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports from Washington.
Registration will cost you $5, although it gets refunded if you sign up in the first month. That's the same fee as for piloted airplanes. Melissa Rudinger is with the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association.
It's very similar in terms of what it's requiring, with the only difference being that with the small drones, they can use the same registration number for multiple aircraft.
But you might want to be cautious before you start collecting multiple drones.
Ostensibly, the person to whom the drone is registered is responsible for its safe operation.
Grant Hathaway specializes in drone law. He says that's something parents will need to keep in mind if they plan on giving a drone as a gift.
So, you know, I imagine a somewhat comical scene of, you know, the 12-year-old boy opening up his present saying, oh, wow, a drone, let's get it flying. And mom saying, just a moment, hon, dad's still on the FAA website.
Since you have to be 13 to register. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is listener-supported. To help keep our coverage relevant and hopefully compelling, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount really, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. There's one controversy in America that has endured since at least the Second World War: where to put housing for poor people. The federal government offers a housing tax credit to developers who build homes for low-income people. But as is the pattern in many spots across the country, many middle-class and wealthier homeowners worry that building low-income housing nearby will bring down their property values. From our Wealth and Poverty Desk, Marketplace's Noel King has a late 2015 version of this.
3 decades ago, a federal court ordered Yonkers, New York to build 200 units of low-income housing in middle-class neighborhoods. The fight over that order was resurrected on screen in the series Show Me a Hero on HBO this summer.
It's about these public housing people bringing drugs and crime into our neighborhood.
Joseph Schuldiner is the current head of the Yonkers Housing Authority, which oversees public housing. He says homeowners back then were worried.
The biggest fear that owners had was the potential that the value of their housing would go down, their homes, which is, you know, their largest single investment is their homes, and the value would go down.
So what does Yonkers look like now? Schuldiner says at one point the HBO series was filming in Yonkers, right by the low-income houses that were built as a result of the court order.
And right there, they were building new houses, $650,000 a house. So at least in this particular instance, you know, we can demonstrate that our housing did not reduce the value of the housing in the neighborhood.
That perception of housing value was not and is not confined to Yonkers. Rebecca Diamond is a professor of economics at Stanford. She looked into what happened to housing values in towns and cities across the country when low-income homes were built nearby. She says her research showed that home prices in middle-class neighborhoods did tend to decline in value, but not by a lot.
So if there was a house worth about $200,000 before the development of a low-income housing site, if the low-income housing site gets developed down the block or within a tenth of a mile, after 10 years, we're looking at about a 2.5% decline in house prices, which is about $5,000.
That's a tenth of a mile. But for houses half a mile away or more, her research showed no decline at all. Diamond also looked at what happened when low-income housing was built in poor neighborhoods.
When you build low-income housing in those areas, it sort of acts as investment in the community and creates a revitalization effect. And we find, you know, house prices going up in those areas up to about 8.5% or so after 10 years.
That revitalization effect of building low-income housing in poor neighborhoods didn't just extend to home prices. She says there were also drops in crime and increased racial diversity. I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
And Europeans used to order an enormous amount of New England lobster for the holidays, but exports from the U.S. are down this season. Here are the economic forces. A high dollar plus demand for lobster from China is driving up lobster's price. Then there's all the austerity in parts of Europe making people steer clear of this symbol of luxury. One lobster exporter from Massachusetts told the AP, quote, "Nobody wants to be seen with a lobster claw hanging out of their mouth when the economy is really suffering." In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.